Hey everybody, it's Lori with the Catch Pocket Podcast, and tonight, episode 50, Jamie Brigeman. I had the pleasure of speaking with Jamie, and she's just a wonderful person. I can't wait till you get to know her too. She's a singer, an artist, she's written a book, she fixes vintage lamps, she's just an interesting all-around person. Stick around. In the middle of the episode, we'll have one of her songs called Window. And at the end, stay till the end, and you'll get to hear Path Unknown. They're great songs. Can't wait till you hear them. Let me know what you think. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe, whatever's necessary. Appreciate you guys listening, and enjoy episode 50, Jamie Brigeman. I'm here with Jamie Brigeman from the Herd and the Huntress, from Wayne Gottstein Band, from art and books. You write books.
I did. I wrote a children's
book. What else do you do?
What else? I redesign old vintage lamps and bring them back to life.
Is my other that's
favorite
cool.
Hobby. Yeah. Like what? Old swag lamps, like from the 60s.
And like make them different.
No, I keep them in the same style, but a lot of times when I find them, they're just the regular table lamps, and then so I take them apart and use parts of other ones. I try to use, like, all vintage parts other than, obviously, the wires and the sockets.
Sure.
Replace those, fire hazards, and then just rebuild them back into the hanging style ones with the long, like, 12-foot cords.
Oh, okay.
So you can move them around wherever. Don't have to. I have made some hardwire ones for people that want those, but typically I like the easy.
Okay.
In,
you know. So that's, you just do that on your spare time when you're not raising your family and drawing and singing and gigs. And okay. So we're going to start with your life. Where were you born?
I was born here in Wichita, Kansas.
Really?
Born and raised. Yeah.
Which hospital?
Wesley.
Okay. Most people. that's like 80% of everyone. Me too, as well.
Cool.
Raised or born here. Mm-hmm. So did you attend public school or private school?
I went to public school. I went to Southeast for high school.
Okay.
Buffaloes.
The Buffaloes. Mm-hmm. At the old building, not the new one way out in the country.
Right. I couldn't believe how far away they moved that. I was like, I didn't even call it Southeast anymore.
Is that even in Wichita? That's what I said. I mean, wow, we're out here.
Yeah. I did the boom, boom, boom. Caldwell, Curtis, Southeast.
Oh, okay. So. Right there on that same block.
Yes.
Edgemore.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's very cool. So when did you start, were your parents artists?
My parents are not artists. My mother is super crafty. Like, she's like a Martha Stewart.
Okay.
Like, she could make something amazing out of like a toilet paper roll, you know. It's just like ideas like I would never think of that, you know.
Right.
She's the person when like the kids wanted me to make them, you know, found some boxes and they want to make it into a robot. My daughter did. So we, you know, did our best, like cut the face out, you know, duct tape it, and then send her over to grandma. She wanted to show grandma. Oh my gosh, we get it back. And it's got like a retractable grate on it. It's got her name on it. It's got little fuzzy balls coming off the top. She took like lids off of laundry detergent, you know, like the clear orange ones.
Uh-huh.
Put those on the side of the head.
Oh, cool.
For a little, you know, it said like Quinn 2.0.
Brilliant.
And, like, yeah, the whole thing was redone. We're like, wow, I'm terrible at this stuff. You just made me look so bad.
I feel ya. I tried to make a Minecraft cake one time.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
It's square. It's easy, right?
The kids told me, well, at least it tastes good, ma'am.
You got the colors right.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So when did you discover your love for art then?
I did do art in, started more, well, I always liked drawing as a kid, for sure. You know, and I'd always try to, you know, win the little things in school, like best drawing picture, you know. I'd enter those coloring contests. You used to see it like Kmart and stuff when you were a kid.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And stuff like that. But I did kind of get more into music towards end of school. So I did not go into any art in high school. I was like doing cheerleading and softball and
choir. Very active. You're active.
As many choir classes I could be in.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So that was where the singing came in, the love for the singing.
Love for the singing, yes.
And I heard an interview with Jed, and you said you were stage fright during that time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I first started, because that was my thing. I was like, oh, well, I was used to singing in choir. There's like, you know, 30, 40 people singing with you.
So you're not alone.
Yeah. I never tried out for the solos. I was just like, I'll just be my soprano self over here.
<You know? laughs> Yeah, for sure.
But so, yeah, but I knew it was something I always wanted to do. And so I randomly like went on, I think it still exists, taxi.com. Okay. It was kind of like a site where you could be like, hey, my name's Jamie. I'm a singer. This is where I live. Looking for a band. Or, you know, I'm a drummer looking for a band. One of those kind of things. So I signed up on one of those after high school. I didn't go to college. I was like, I'm going to be a singer. That's it. That's what I'm doing. Uh-huh. I don't need a degree to do that. I'm going to be a rock star.
I love
that was,
it.
That was my mind frame.
Hey.
And
your parents thought, cha-ching, okay.
Yeah, they were like, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, we support you. no, they were very supportive, though. They weren't like the pushy, like, you have to go to college.
Right, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So
you got to work your own self at that point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt like I didn't quite know who I was that, you know, when you're like 17, 18, getting out of high school, but I knew enough where I knew my love of music and stuff. So I put myself out on this website, and it actually was like a year before anybody contacted me. And then so this girl from Wichita, her name's Christy, and she had a band, and one of her singers was leaving.
Uh-huh.
And so she was like, you want to join my band? So met up with her.
Did you try
songs.
Out?
Yeah. I did. I tried out. And uh-huh. I was nervous because she did a lot of like Simon and Garfunkel and Grateful Dead and stuff I didn't listen to. I grew up listening to like Zeppelin and The Doors and, you know, Aerosmith. Yeah.
I like all those bands.
Yeah. And I would say at this time too, you know what, I would listen to a lot of Sheryl Crow and Cranberries and stuff like that too around those times. So I was singing some of those songs and she would harmonize. So we hit it off though.
Yeah.
But the band didn't last very long.
What was the band name?
Rello.
Rello.
R-H-E-L-L-O.
Oh, okay.
Rello. Yeah. So after a few months, we did several gigs, but I was like, yeah, I would be up there
nervous,
closing my eyes, holding the mic, you know.
Yeah.
And then the band fell apart, which was like right to the point where I was starting to feel more comfortable being on stage.
But
a bunch of band members quit. So I was like, well, I'm going to start a rock band then.
Yeah.
So I was like, do you want to join my band? Then let's start a new band and we'll do rock stuff. So we did that for like 3 years and it was a band called Ivy.
Ivy? E-I-V-Y. Was it all women or?
It was just me and Christy and then the rest of us guys. We had drums, guitar, bass.
Still,
she played guitar. I just sang.
Still people you know now or?
Yes. Uh-huh. Still people I know now except our lead guitar guy. He lives in Minneapolis though, so I haven't seen it for a long time, but Wichita at that time, this is like 2001, like the music scene was like you had to be a cover band, and like I wanted to write my own music,
right?
And so that was hard. So and it was like every time we get to the point where we're like, we have all these gigs booked and we know like 60 freaking covers, you know, so now we can start focus on writing our own songs. Somebody'd quit the band.
Gosh.
Either the drummer or the bass player. Every time. They're a curse. So then, you know, you're like, well, we already got this book. So you get some new person. So they relearn all the 60 songs you've been doing for years.
Right.
And so it just became this vicious cycle where I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And I just ended my own band.
You ended your own band?
Yeah, I was like,
I'm quitting my own band.
Yeah, I'm quitting my own band. It's over.
Okay. It's and over. Then, and then like that, you were how old then?
And then, I was 22.
Yeah.
22 at the time. And that's around when I guess I met my husband during that time. My band opened for his band.
And what was that band?
Loco Machine.
Loco Machine.
Yeah. He was from Emporia.
Okay.
Yeah. And so.
Did he go to college?
He did. He went to Friends University on a soccer scholarship for a short time.
So he's from Wichita as well?
No, he's from Emporia.
Okay.
But that's just where he ended up going to school.
Okay.
For a little while. But
and you met him here in Wichita?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
While he was doing soccer?
No. Actually, you know, he had already quit soccer by then, but that's how my friend Christy, who's in the band with me, knew him. And she was always like, I've always wanted you to meet this guy.
Okay.
You know? And so when we were starting out our band, we needed somebody else to play with so we'd have enough and get into some new spots. And so we played at the Night Owl.
And that's
on
the
hydraulic.
Ivy?
Ivy, yes.
And they were playing with the Loco Machine opening?
Yeah, opening. We opened for Loco Machine, the Night Owl.
And South Hydraulic?
Yes.
I don't know it.
Yeah, well, you're not missing it. We call it the Fight Owl every time we play there because this lady
who ran it was raised in South Wichita, so I know about all that.
Yeah.
The angst.
Yeah. There was people physically being thrown out of there constantly.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Thrown out the door. So we met there. And it was just kind of, it's totally one of those little love at first sight things.
Really?
Yeah.
You just.
We hit it off.
Yeah.
So I quit my band and then I joined his band and moved to Emporia.
Loco Machine.
And then they started a bluegrass band as well called the Duane Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And,
we know the Duane Brothers.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. So I joined part of that. And then we went on tour. We did that for like 10 years.
Yeah, they did really well. You guys toured. Where all did you go?
We've been to like every state except for like four.
Yeah?
Yeah. We even played in the Caribbean and played on some cruise ships.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was awesome.
Really?
Especially because we were intended to be there just for one boat, basically. It was the Rock Boat. Our friends, Oakhurst, out of Colorado, they had gotten this gig and had been doing it annually. And they were like, well, every time we do it, each one of us can bring one guest. And so there was like five of them, five of us, you know. So they brought us all along as guests. So we still brought our instruments. So we weren't technically there to be performers, but we ran around the boat and we're just like playing acoustically. We'd get in the elevators and then just wait for people to get in. Once the doors closed, we'd like jump into song, whatever. So we came like, word got spread around about us pretty quickly. So then the people who ran the boat, it's called Sixth Man Productions. So they were like, do you guys want to go on the next three boats? And we're like,
that is really cool.
Yeah, they're like, we're not gonna pay you, but we won't make you pay to go.
Oh,
so well, which maybe. We were pretty poor at the time, so we were still just like, but you can't pass up the opportunity to do something like
you
that.
You don't have to pay to live for that amount of time, at least,
right? Yeah, I mean, remember the boat, that Rock Boat was like Sister Hazel, you know, kind of them older, older groups, and but we went on the singer songryter boat, which had like Lyle Lovett and Emmylou Harris Brandi Carlile was on it. She wasn't really big then.
Yeah.
And then we did John Mayer's. His was just him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, jeez.
Yeah. Bare Naked Ladies was another boat.
Okay. Yeah. So that was your three. Did you go three and out, or did you do more after that?
No, it was just like we did these like in a row.
Yeah.
So we were, and it was like January. So it was like we were missing all the shitty weather here in Kansas. So it was great.
Right.
Now all those guys' girlfriends are fucking pissed. But
yeah, two of them got a divorce.
Yeah. They're like, what do you mean?
You're going on another boat.
Jamaica. Three times, you know, yeah. You got to the point where it's like, okay, if I wait, have to get up at like 6 to go on the island or whatever, we'll be like, I'll do it next week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sleeping.
That's awesome.
Because, of course, just constant party the whole time, so.
Hell yeah.
But
it sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, what an experience.
Yeah.
So then after that, you guys continue to play and tour around, and then that kind of disbanded.
It's just like over a while, you know, it's just like touring life isn't for everybody, you know, and everybody's kind of been doing it for a while. And, you know, it's like we were making okay money, but it's like we were making enough money to pay everybody's bills, but then you had nothing else afterwards.
Right.
You know, so there's really no way to like save up money. Like your rent was paid, but you're still going to eat ramen.
Yeah.
So it got hard. People were wanting to start families and stuff like that, too.
Yeah. And so, just change as musicians or get tired of playing the same songs over and over again.
Yes,
I'm sure of.
Yeah. And you're living in and out of bars and whatever every night. It's just, it'll get on your health a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And then, so then where did, you know, you and Garrett, did you marry during that time?
Yes, we got married in 2006.
So while you were in the band, you got married with Garrett, right?
And he proposed to me on stage at the Gaslight in Lawrence.
Nice.
Yes.
So it was meaningful with a bunch of supportive, yeah. fans and friends.
Yes, yes.
And they knew about it, but you didn't know it was coming. Yes.
So I had an inkling that something weird was going on, though.
You just was picking up the vibe?
Yeah,
or
yeah. And he like was sweating his said they weren't coming, and then all of a sudden they showed up, and she had a camera, and I was like,
what? That's yeah, odd.
Yeah, wait a minute.
And he proposed.
He proposed.
And then you guys got married, like, right away, or was it a year later? Or?
Yeah, it was pretty, I think we planned it within a year. Our anniversary is April 15th.
Oh, well, happy anniversary coming right up.
I know. It was either April Fool's Day or Tax Day. We're like, maybe people might not show up at our wedding if they think it's a joke.
Yeah, that's true. Did you guys start a band together, like after Dwayne Brothers?
Yes, after Dwayne Brothers, we started the Deedles. We pretty much did it like right away because we were just like, we don't have jobs.
Right, we need money.
We have to keep doing this, you know. And it actually ended up having one of the people from Oakhurst that took us on the cruise ships. He left their band, and so he ended up moving to Emporia and living with us. So he joined our band. He's usually a mandolin player, but we were like, can you play electric bass? He's like, sure. So we went on the road with that band for about a year and a half, and we did, you know, original songs mostly, and we do electric versions of the Dwayne Brothers songs, you know, that like me and Garrett wrote and stuff.
Right.
Some others as well, but yeah, we did that for a minute, and then...
And you were living in Emporia at
that
time?
Yeah, still living at Emporia.
And when did your first child come?
2013.
So you were in there a little ways.
Yeah.
You guys had a lot of fun playing.
Yeah,
a lot
and
of
that
things.
Was kind of our deal where we were like, okay, you can either, because we were always like band rule once we started, it was like, you can't have kids and you can't play extreme sports. Because if you, you know, break your hand or your leg or something, you can't play guitar or whatever anymore. So that
and
was
then
kind
we'll
of
have
our,
to cancel shows.
Right,
and
yeah.
No one wants to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. To have children. So,
yeah, that's cool.
You know, yeah.
And here is Jamie's song, Window, for your enjoyment.
Yeah.
So, okay. So,
yeah, we did that. Again, just people were like wanting to do other things. Some people like moved away, and we were kind of just like a little bit tired of the small town life. And so I'm from Wichita originally. And so I was like, I knew a lady that we played her bar here at the Anchor a bunch of times.
Shane.
And, yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So. Anywhere. I was like, well, if there's anybody who maybe would give me a job. I mean, it was like, I hadn't really been a bartender, but I was like, I lived in bars. Same thing, right? You know? So I hit
but
her
But you
up
don't drink, but you're a bartender. Is it?
Not now. Right. I used to.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and that's, and it's only, it'd be 4th of July was the last time I
had a drink. Drink. Oh, yes. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Just kind of a lifestyle change, you know?
There's a lot of benefits to it.
Yeah.
You don't spend as much money.
Yeah, you don't spend as much money. You're not just like, who's going to drive? You know, like,
yeah.
If I get pulled over, it'll be just for speeding or something. You know, you know, or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They
not
can
hungover,
say,
you know.
The hungover.
I feel like it's a lot more prevalent now than it used to be.
Oh, definitely. Most of my friends actually, I would say like 50-50 split on don't drink or drink, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty, usually back in the day,
it
was like everybody smoked, everybody drank.
Right, exactly.
And now it's different.
Yeah, yeah. And it's kind of nice that there's a lot more NA options for people, too. It's not just like, oh, well, here's O'Doul's.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't drink beer, or then here's your juice, you know? So it's like, if you still want to feel like you're having some fancy drink but not have to have the hangover, it's
kinda they'll
nice.
Make you something.
Yes, yes.
That's true. During that time, so you decided to take a job with Shane at the Anchor.
Yeah, I worked there for 7 years.
And so that was when? Before you had your first job?
It was right after I had him.
Okay.
Because
after you were ready to come back to work.
Yeah, yeah. Because I would have to take breaks and go upstairs and pump milk.
Really? That was your first?
And running around bartending, be like, wait, I'll be back.
I always wondered, how's that upstairs? Is it cool?
It is.
Yeah.
It's about what you think it would be. I mean, it's
like ghosts and stuff.
Right. Yeah. It feels very haunted.
That's what I think. I'm like, ghosts are in there.
It's a tiny office up there, actually.
Yeah.
You know. But
okay.
I don't know how Jeff ran his t-shirt shop out of there.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember meeting Jeff the first time at Tanglewood Signs.
Uh-huh.
He's so grumpy. He hated me. I was like,
he's not a smiler.
He's grumpy, but he's a great guy. So
yeah, so funny,
creative.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you write your book then?
I wrote my book. Actually, I finished that before I left the Anchor. It was actually like right before COVID.
Uh huh.
So it's like I finally get this book. And then I can't go out and promote it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you were on.
That released it.
You were on KSN. They promoted it with you.
Yeah.
And
I was surprised how easy that was. I just hit them up. I was like, hey. And they're like, want to come in tomorrow? I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. It was good. It was a good
Thanks.
One.
Thanks.
And so I was wondering, because you said to them that you worked on it for about 2 years before you actually published it.
Yeah.
Or had it published.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when your art was already there, so because you illustrated it as well, did your husband, he draws as well. He's an artist as well.
Yes, he is an artist. He's amazing watercolor.
When did he start doing his art, and was it before you doing yours?
That's the funny thing, is I never even knew he did watercolor until like right at around 2019.
Uh-huh.
Like we've been together all this time. Now he's always been like, I've seen him do like acrylic paintings and stuff, and he doodles a lot and does a lot of cool little characters and little faces and little cartoony things and stuff. And I don't remember even just like, I don't know if he just, it was something he did before, but he just
put it away.
Yeah, I guess. Cause you know, he used to do like t-shirt design and stuff for one of his buddies before we had met too. So he did artwork kind of through that too. And, I'm pretty sure he took some art classes throughout high school and stuff like that too. But he was just painting one day and got it out, and I didn't even know we had watercolors for one either. And I was like, oh my God, like, wait, you just painted this? Like, and it was amazing. And I was like, how is this just now coming out? But of course, I'm not surprised because he's just like good at everything he puts his mind to.
Yeah.
You know? And, so I was like, well, I want to try it, you know, because I hadn't really gone back to doing much art since I focused so much on singing
right. All
that time. And so that was, he was, I can't even remember what it was, honestly, that he was painting at the time. It was, I think it was a bird or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I'm going to try something easy. That's why I picked that frog that I showed you. I was
yeah.
like, oh, this tree frog is cute. And it's bright. I like bright colored things. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
So he kind of like talked me through the process of it. And I just kind of really ended up having a knack for it.
Yeah.
And, then before you know it, we're just each kind of just like picking pictures, and we're like, oh, I'm going to do this one next. I'm going to do this one next.
Yeah.
And, then we started getting some attention with it, and people started asking for like pet portraits, or I love owls, or I love this, or
right.
you paint this and that.
I've seen the owl. It's so good.
Thanks. The barn owl?
Barn owl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one's mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has one too. He did this awesome, like, I guess a hoot owl or
okay.
the ones with the little
pointy
yeah,
ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is there a screech owl? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just awesome. All I know, it's an owl. It's awesome. It...
I love it.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of crazy because in a weird way, it's like, I hate saying this, but I was probably one of the few people that benefited from COVID happening because I honestly probably never would have left the Anchor otherwise.
You know,
it did great things for me, and I had a lot of fun working there, you know, but it was also very stressful and,
sure.
you know, and you're drinking every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, and I was gone from my kids. I was gone every night,
right.
you know, for the most part. And, it just kind of started to wear on you after a while,
right.
you know, and, but the money, being a bartender, you know, it's good money.
Yeah, it's good money.
And you're taking home cash every night, and you're just, I was scared, never going to college. Well, what am I going to do
uh-huh.
if I, you know, because I knew I didn't want to do that forever.
Right.
Music obviously wasn't, you know, I tried.
Yeah.
you know, it wasn't paying
it
the bills.
Pay
so
off
I had to do this. And so when we shut down, I was basically like, then we just decided, since we had started getting a reputation with our art, that we were just going to pursue that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like there was some unemployment, so that gave us the opportunity to
right.
try to jump in and do that. And it just really kind of took off. And we were able to do that on our own for about 2.5 years.
Right.
Just doing that full time.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, because we weren't out
And you
performing.
Were with your kids.
Yeah, with the kids.
And,
yeah, doing remote school.
Yeah, I did that too.
Second grade remote school.
I didn't do that.
No.
I did high school.
Well, that's got to be easier. At least
it was.
They know how to sit still.
I was out there, and they were in here.
Yeah.
But they did go non-binary during that time, so I don't know if it was great. But, I mean, not saying anything wrong with it, but I was like,
some
that all happened there. What happened? I don't know. Anyway, we'll move on from that.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Sure is. You find those
Changes.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, second graders doing school online would be crazy because you actually have to babysit them while they're doing that, or else they'll just get up and walk away.
We had to be the teacher. Well,
right.
And bless her heart, the teacher that ended up having to be his remote teacher was like 70 years old.
Oh, no.
So she's never done this stuff before. So half the time she's having trouble getting teams to work and all
right.
this. And you see all the other kids that parents aren't there being,
right?
You know, supportive of them, and they're just
changing
like,
the background all day
right.
long, and
yeah,
being a cat.
Like, yeah, they're just running around the room. And she's like, "Hey, get off your bed, come over here." You know, trying to talk to you know,
poor lady.
30 kids on the screen. You know,
yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
So, you guys got to do your art and be able to put it on Facebook or
yeah,
is that how you sold it mostly?
Yeah, we started out just mainly doing Facebook posts, you know, and usually get hit up by your friends and family first and stuff, you know,
and then the outsiders would come, you know, join the watercolor group, and
right? You're posting your stuff, you're trying to get out there. We did start our own website and all that, and then we put, you know, our music and stuff on there too, still trying to promote music and all that,
right?
But during the process,
still writing music at that time and playing a little bit,
not too much.
So it really did kind of fill the void that you had from being a performer,
right,
to being a house mom, bartender,
yes,
on the side.
Yeah, exactly. And it was nice that it was like still a creative outlet, you know. So I was just like thinking, what are you going to do if I just have to do some remote office job? I'm going to hate. This is going to suck.
Right.
You know, I've done customer service before. When I first moved to Emporia, that's what I got. Because I'd worked in banking before when me and Garrett first met. That's what I was doing before. We were like, we quit our jobs. We're going to be rock stars. Yeah. Buy a bus. Hit the road.
Yeah. See the world.
See the world.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like.
And be creative and be happy. And
doing what I love.
Right. For yourself. You know, not working for someone else to make them money.
Right.
So you could pay your bills to make yourself money.
Yeah.
I get that. I wish I could do this. I wish somebody would pick this podcast up.
Wink, wink. Somebody out there picked this up.
Nudge, nudge. Yeah. So then at that point, you guys are moving along with your art.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID is going at that point,
COVID
too.
Is going. I had finished my book at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm from the KSN thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was inspired by my son to write that book.
Right.
And then I'd drawn this picture, and I was like, I just came up with the idea where like I wanted everything to be black and white except for this flashlight beam. And then and somebody had even said when I posted it, they were like, that looks like it was a book or something. And I was like, oh.
It kind of inspired me.
I was like, you know, then it'd be cool. Then I was like, then I got the idea that like of a kid that's reading books and going through all these adventures. And then I was like, I'll keep the concept of the flashlight, that the only thing that's color is in the beams. Cause you know, when you're looking at stuff at night, and the only thing that's going to show up, it's not dark, is in the beam, you know?
Right.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So it's a great idea. And it's all about, your imagination as a child and your
encouraging
about your
reading.
Son and, and you said his name was Kai?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you have two kids?
Yes. And Quinn came later.
Quinn came later. Mm-hmm. So she's the younger.
She's younger. She's six. She came in 2017.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We were always like, okay, after Kai was born, we're like, if we're going to have another one, it's got to be within 2 years. Because, you know, plus I was older, you know. Mm-hmm. They're already giving me grief, you know, having a kid at 36 or 32.
Right.
You know, and then have her almost, 40, so 38.
Yeah.
That plan obviously didn't work because it was 5 years instead of 2 years.
Yeah, you know.
But it's kind of a good gap for them. I feel like, you know, me and my sister were 2 years apart and we just butted heads.
Right.
We were different people and we had to share a room our whole lives.
Yeah.
When share
it's
a bed,
girls.
Share a room.
Yeah, me too. Me and my sister, we're further apart. So we were, we didn't butt heads all that much.
Yeah.
But,
I think
that
gap makes it better. Yeah.
Sure does.
Yeah.
I'm sure I tortured her a lot more than
stay
she.
Stay out of my stuff.
Yeah. Quit wearing my shoes.
Yeah. My makeup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally.
Definitely.
So we would fight about a lot. Sneaky clothes.
Or food or clothes or anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Taking too much of the bed.
Yeah. She was like, I'm graduating early. I hate school. I have two friends. And I was like, I'm going to be in everything and have 100 friends. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
I was like, I made friends with everybody. I felt like I wasn't like in like a clique, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, I try to be friends with everybody. I mean, you had your close friends, but, you know.
But you were nice, so everyone kind of talked to you and stuff.
Right.
You weren't like ousted by
right
a clique or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Yeah. Me and my sister, we're the opposites because I'm the one with two friends and she's the one with all the friends.
Yeah.
So that's how that goes. I mean, I have more than two friends, but.
I feel like when you look back on it now, it's like, because I had about six, what I called best friends, but really that's too many. There's really They're not all your best friends. Because we were fighting all the time, too. You have a slumber party, and then somebody's crying and going home at some point.
You That's know? True, isn't
it's
it?
It's so stupid.
Yep. Girls Every are dumb. Time. Every time.
Girls are dumb sometimes.
Girls are catty.
They're emotional they really creatures.
Are. Yes, we are. I know. So, okay, you wrote the book, and then from there, what happened through the book? Did you get to go promote it because COVID happened? Did you get to promote it later? Or
not really. I feel like I could probably try to do another push for it because, I mean, it was mainly just an online thing. And I did really well. I mean, I don't know how really well it is when you come out with a kid's book. Doing it all myself. I tried to go through trying to find the publisher or the editor or get it picked up. And it was just, it's just one of those things, of course, like everything. It's
right.
Like you got to know somebody to get in or you got to have a ton of money.
Right.
Or whatever. Or, you know.
Or your dad does or something.
Right. You know, I was like, oh, this would be a great book for the Dolly Parton thing, you know, that mm-hmm. she gives the Imagination Library, but she only uses books from Penguin Publishing. So you try to call Penguin Publishing. Yeah, right. You know, so I was like, I had to do everything DIY.
Right.
You know, so I found the printer place and did all that. But I sold like 300 copies when it first came out, which
That's
I felt,
good.
You know, the library here has it picked up as a digital book.
Hey, all right.
You know, and I gave them a couple copies to just have there
mm-hmm.
as well. I mean, it does have a barcode and
yeah.
a SKU and all that. But, and I've already kind of, and I've had other people tell me that I should write another one, like a, and I thought about doing one where like she goes to like other countries or something and is exploring, you know, different countries and things there.
Right. And but, give kids the ability to see the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a way that they, through a book.
Right.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just try to inspire more people to read.
Yes.
Reading is so important.
It is. It's fundamental,
mm-hmm.
some say.
Yeah.
And I love that. Dolly Parton Imagination.
I do too.
Library.
We did it for both our kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
Really is. Sign up for that if you have a kid 1 to 5, I think.
Yeah, till 5 years old.
Yeah, they'll free give book. Them free book every month.
Every month.
They send it in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
So the kid gets mail. It's so exciting. And then you can read the book with your kid.
Yeah.
And they're really, you know, all the penguin books. So,
Mm-hmm.
This moon, or what's the moon one? Good Night Moon.
Good Night Moon.
Isn't that one of them?
Yeah, Little Engine That Could. But there's definitely some the traditional like ones.
Yeah.
And then there's some other newer ones and things. But yeah, kind of runs the gamut a little bit.
That's cool.
I never had one that we didn't like.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know.
They're all good.
Yeah. I guess the only thing with two kids is that eventually you're like, oh, we have this one. You know, so now we have two copies of this,
right.
but they're not always the same every year, you know, with the gap between them. I was like, maybe they won't be still always sending out the same books. You get a few repeats, but
yeah,
still worth it.
Definitely
free.
You can always
and then
give
you put
it
them
to
in the
someone.
Little libraries. Yeah. That's what we do.
Yep.
Around the neighborhood.
I think our little library is just full of chock full of Good Night Moons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, okay. And then from there, At some point during that time, your husband started playing with Pretend Friend.
Yes.
Was that about the same time period?
Yes. He played with Carrie Nation for 5 years too before that.
Okay.
Like when Kai was first born, he was on tour a lot. Touring around with them for like 5 years, playing banjo with them.
Oh, okay. And that's where he really got hot on that banjo
And then he took some time off. And we still do Dwayne every now and then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's just kind of few and far between.
Right.
Really,
you play pop-ups at Kirby's once in a while.
Right.
Hey, sneak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a secret. Mm-hmm. Like, right, okay.
exactly.
But you've been playing with Wayne Gottstein and singing and doing other things on the TikTok.
Yeah. He's the one who got me into the TikTok.
TikTok
yeah,
is cool.
Totally Wayne.
I've been trying to, like,
I'm late to the game on
react
it.
To TikTok, but I don't know. It's like there's a lag from the voice to the mouth movement sometimes.
Sometimes there are.
It's really disappointing.
Yeah. When I watch the like replays sometimes of lives, and I'll try to like, oh, well, that clip went well, you know, and it's like, as I'm watching, I'm like, is that what it looks like live sometimes? Like,
I don't know.
Like a millisecond off of
moving. It just bothers me. Yeah. And then
it's my internet or TikTok.
I think it's my internet or something, because I think it must be AT&T. Like my phone internet, because it'll be right on the money, and then I'll post it, and then I'll try to play it, and it'll be a lag.
Yeah.
And I don't like that, and then I'll delete it.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
But I love learning. That's why I even started this podcast, is I was listening. I was a listener of podcasts, and I thought, you know, how hard could it be to do this? I'd like to find out.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what started, like, okay, now I'll buy this paycheck, I'll buy one microphone.
Yeah,
and
right.
The next paycheck, I'll buy another microphone.
Yeah, because I think you can totally tell the difference, you know, when you're scrolling through, like, different podcasts, and you're like, oh, this sounds interesting, and you're like, oh, this is low budget.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Yeah, this sucks.
Like, I'm sorry, I know you're trying to do things, but next.
Yeah. So to make it sound good, from my very first one to now is night and day difference, but it's the same as if you go out on the road and you play your first show with your brand new song, and then you come back and play your song. It's not brand new anymore.
Right.
You played it a million times.
Yeah,
it's like crisp, and you got the ending, and everybody's like clapping, and it's like
dynamics are there. Yeah. No, totally.
Practice That's makes cool. perfect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, is there anything you want to talk about that I didn't ask you?
Well, after, I guess after our 2.5 years or so of doing, just the art, you know, it was kind of like, ooh, our savings is going down.
Right.
So I was like, I'm going to have to start looking for at least a part-time job or something.
Uh-huh.
And, so I had to have like a friend of mine, like, help me. I was like, everybody does it online now. I was like, oh, I was like, we don't print these out anymore. So I made up a resume, and I was like, well, how do you put this that, like, I was like, I'm not even going to put my music on there, because most people want your last 10 years of what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, well, okay, well, 7 years I was a bartender, and then I was an independent, you know, artist, you know. So I was just like, so I just kind of put those on there, and then I sent it to a buddy of mine, and to kind of look at it and edit it, be like, what do I need to add? What's wrong here? And he's like, how come you didn't put your music on there? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, well, at least just add it into, like, a hobby section or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So, of course, turns out that's the thing that gets me a job interview. Is that I'm a musician. Uh-huh. This little snippet that's like, by the way, I'm a singer.
So where was that for?
So that was for Holland Pathways.
Okay.
Where I work now. And I work part-time there, so I still do, you know, music with Wayne, still do our art, but, you know, needed some consistent income.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, I went in for this job, and it was for doing music therapy in addiction substance abuse facility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I immediately was like, I feel like, what is it? Not FOMO. It's imposter. Imposter syndrome. Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because you didn't feel qualified to do that?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And I told the guy on the phone, I was like, wait. I was like, I don't think I've got enough, you know, experience for this kind of job. And he's like, whoa, just give me a call. So I called this guy, and he's just like, can you show people how to play some chords? Can you, you know, talk to him about music? Can you write songs? And I was like, well, yeah. And he was like, well, that's fine. That's all you need to do. Can you run an open mic? And I was like, okay, sure. You know, but I was still pretty nervous about it. I had to come in and interview, and I'd bring my guitar, and I hadn't played in a long time, you know, because the bands I was in, like, they were always playing. So I was like, oh my gosh, now I got to play this guitar that's been sitting over here for years.
Yeah.
and I get in there too, and I'm like, it's one of those things where you realize the audience is, you know, substance abuse, and then you're like, all the songs I write is about drinking.
Oh,
or drugs.
Oh gosh. Yeah, time to switch that up.
Right, so I was like, well, I have this song that's about how drinking is bad. It's called Evil in Me. And so I sing that for him in the office, and then he was like, all right, we want to go into one of the groups and meet all the clients. I was like,
oh, wow.
No.
That's quick. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Throw me to the wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to go in there, and I was probably the first time I've been like, kind of like that stage fright came back. I was kind of just like nervous, like, oh my gosh, like this is not your usual setting for this. So went in there, played a few songs, and they were all like super clapping, super nice. This guy who hired me is a musician as well. So that's what like drew him in. He's like an old rock star, I guess. But I go ahead and get this position, you know, but I tell him, I was like, I can only, you know, it's like, I can't come in till 10 because I got to get my kids to school and I have to be off by 3 so that I can get my kids after school. And I have to save my weekends for music and stuff. And they're like, cool. I was like, well, that's pretty unusual.
Awesome.
Yeah. So thrown into this job. And also at the interview, I was like, well, do you guys do any kind of art here or art therapy? And they were like, no, we don't. But you want to do that too?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I became the art and music director.
Of Holland
Pathways.
That's really cool.
And so now I've really kind of developed my own program there because not long after that, this said person left. Mm-hmm. And then so I was just like, oh gosh, I have this new position and nobody to really guide me.
Mm-hmm.
So
you started reading about it.
Yeah. So doing my own research and stuff. And it's been a learning experience for sure. You know, you kind of look up stuff to see like what, you know, you figure out with trial and error, you know, what people seem to, you know, gravitate towards, what they like, what they don't, and stuff like that. So I do a mixture of doing art and music every week. And we do every Friday, we do an open mic. So we'll do like karaoke.
Oh, neat.
Or they can get up. I mean, we get a lot of musicians that come through. They might play their own songs, or we have instruments there.
Mm-hmm.
We recently upgraded my studio because I'll do recordings that, like, we'll write songs. Like, that's my favorite thing to do, is write recovery songs
neat.
A group, you know, kind of group them up and write lyrics. I usually come with like a chorus, something we can all, you know, relate to, recovery related. And then I'll take all of their lyrics, and if anybody wants to sing or play on it with me, they can.
They don't
not
have to.
All, yeah, right. It's not forced to by any means.
But they feel like a part of it.
Yeah.
You make them and feel good about their... Yeah.
I'll record the song, and then I'll make a music video with the lyrics on it, you know, and they put it on our YouTube channel, the Holland Pathways music channel.
Oh, neato. Okay.
So they can know, you know, oh, that was my line, you know, or, you know, if they need, they're having a bad day and you need to, like, a song that's going to uplift you and remind you you're, you know, that you can overcome, you know, that you can be strong, recovery's possible kind of thing.
And these are hard things to do, you know.
They are, And I think the biggest part that was hard for me, too, was... you know, a majority of the people that work there too are in recovery, and have been, you know, for either anywhere from a year to even longer, you know, so people automatically assumed I had been in recovery, you know, but I was like, I have not been in recovery, but I've lived a very, you know, unhealthy lifestyle over the years, you know, I can relate to a lot of things, made a lot of bad decisions, had days where I probably could have died. With the choices that I've made, you know.
Right.
So I think that was another thing where it kind of made me feel like an imposter a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. But I've overcome that now, you know, and seen the impact and change that I've made on the clients and stuff.
Yeah. Art and it sounds music. Like they made it on you as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's reciprocal there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's not something I ever would have applied for myself,
right?
And it just kind of came to me, like, I'm a big believer in like manifestation,
definitely,
you know, and putting that positivity out there.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And you know, and just being, I think you're like one of those people that can be empathetic to others and things like that, so that kind of makes it, you be able to read the room, you know. I don't doubt that you're not awesome at your you know, career now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So on the Catch a Pocket podcast, I always ask my guest for a story of inspiration. And I feel like you just told me an inspirational thing. But I do want to see if there's anything else that you might want to tell me and the people listening that either inspired you, could be a saying, it could be something your dad always said, or that you've used to inspire others?
Okay. Well, I would have to say that probably the person that has inspired me and motivated me the most would be my husband. Mm. He has always been like my rock, my number one supporter. He's that one that's, you know, was telling me, like, when I got this job too, that he was just like, you're gonna be amazing at it, you know, people are gonna love it, you know what you're doing. And I always kind of struggled a little bit with confidence, you know. Public speaking was always, that was another thing that I was scared of with this job, was like, I'm not just getting up there and having to sing. I'd rather sing to people any day than have to talk to them. So I'd never been thrown into a teaching thing, so I was terrified about that. But he was always inspiring to tell him, you know, to that what I have to say is important, and then people will listen and appreciate what I have to bring. But one of the best things he said to me was, you know, a lot of times I think people struggle with comparing themselves with people, especially like singers, for example. You know, like, if I can't hit this note that Adele can sing, then I just suck, you know. And it was just, and he was always like, you just need to be the best singer at the way that you sing, or be the best version of you. You don't need to be somebody else. Just be the best version of yourself. And so that's, I think, that's one of the most inspiring things I've been told. And I tell other clients and just people in general, you know, it's okay to be you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just be the best you can be.
Yeah. Because you're the only you.
Right.
There's already this person and that person, but there's only one you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Jamie, thanks for catching a pocket with me today. I feel very honored.
I'm honored to be on here, too. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Jamie Brigham for being my episode 50th guest on the Catch a Pocket podcast. Please don't forget to like, subscribe. Thanks for making it to the end. And for you, we have the song Path Unknown by Jamie and Friends. So please listen to it. All the links for Jamie's things are going to be in the notes section of this podcast. And thank you for catching a pocket with me. And I hope you guys catch a pocket you can be proud of.